ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
If you're all set and ready, you know what, so am I.
The Mighty Challenge.
25 questions in five categories. Our categories tonight are category number one, make it quick. Make it quick. Category number two, famous Toms. Category number three, etymology, not entomology. That was last night. Etymology. Category number four, the 1700s. What a century. And category number five, foxes and wolves. Anne from Caulfield's going to kick us off on a seasoned opening bat. Anne, good evening to you. Welcome back.
Hi, how are you going?
I'm all right. Yeah, no, I'm all right. All right, looking forward to getting into it. So we ran into a few roadblocks last night.
Oh, well, I must say I was asleep. I slept through last night.
Oh, what's going on, man? Sudden outbreak of... Is there a sudden outbreak of the sleep of mosquito-borne sleeping sickness in Warfield?
I've been getting tired recently. So, yeah, sometimes I'm too tired to ring up.
Oh, well, that's okay. Good sleep equals good health, underlined three times. Man.
Well, okay.
For a lot of us, I know, would say any sleep would
be. It's sometimes a bit wishful thinking, but it's all right.
What do you like here? Make it quick. Famous Tom's etymology.
You got it. Etymology.
Etymology. Question number one. The name of which ocean is derived from the Greek for bear? As in the animal.
Oh, I'm just, I don't know if it's something, I'm trying to think of an ocean, Ursa, something.
Name which ocean is derived from the Greek for bear?
Let's try Atlantic. I don't think it's Pacific, so I'll try Atlantic, but I'm not confident.
No, there's a reason for that.
You're right.
No. You can go to sleep now, Anne.
You're right. See you later.
See you, bye. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Ingrid from Melandus is in relation to the outages. It's incredible to think Auntie has so many texts to call on and contract simultaneously over the eastern states. I don't know what's going on, Anne. Ingrid, it's not part of our department, I'm sure, as you would be aware. Maria from the Aegean, I may all be done remotely for some way. Ingrid, I don't know. Rodney from Warburton in Victoria. Hi, Rodney.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Morning. I am all right. Yes, we're in etymology. The name of which ocean is derived from the Greek for bear?
Well, the only thing I can think of with a bear, with an ocean, it's a white bear, and that would be the Arctic.
Correct. Yes, it is. The name of which ocean is derived from the Greek for bear is the Arctic Ocean. Very good. All right, question number two. You can stay with etymology if you like, or move anywhere else. Make it quick. Famous Toms, foxes and wolves, or the 1700s. What a century.
I've got no idea about any of them. So, I'll keep going, I suppose.
On etymology. Ray in the Bay says, Phil, I think I would get more sleep if I slept in the bathroom and got up three or four times a night to visit the bedroom. Boom, boom. That's very good, Ray. That is very good, Ray. I bet you there are thousands of people right now saying, yeah, that's right. Oh, dear.
I was listening to your IT segment and I work in aged care, and it's quite funny how the aged and the older among us can perceive the little things. It's
To which, Rodney, I say I draw myself up to my full heart and say, to what do you refer? What little things?
Look, I refer to television now. It's not a case of changing your television anymore. You have to be able to...
Work a computer.
To be able to bring up an app and do all this sort of stuff.
I know.
Yeah, and they can. Yeah, it's wonderful how much that they. Yeah, sorry.
No. I agree with you, Rodney. My dear old mother-in-law, much remembered and much loved, used to sit down on the couch and say, "I just want to turn on channel on the ABC channel 2. I just wanted to. Where's the knob to select channel 2? I said, "There isn't a knob."
That's right. There's no more channel 2 anymore. You've got to run through these things and anyway.
My texter says, "You mean the Greeks named the Arctic Ocean?" Oh, I don't think so. No, but it just comes from the Greek. That's disgusting. My texter says, "Get a good old bedpan." No, we won't be doing that. We're retaining our dignity, thank you, and stumbling in the pyjamas from bedroom to bathroom. Question number 2. Staying with etymology. Which word for an introductory statement in a document comes from the Latin for to walk before?
And this is an ocean.
No, the category is etymology. It's nothing to do with oceans. It's etymology. The category is etymology.
Oh, etymology. I've got no idea, Phil.
No idea? Thanks, no. Rodney. Good on you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. May your journeys be few, if you know what I mean. Lorella, that's correct. Harry in the Bay, that's correct. Alistair from Winchelsea. Hi, Alistair.
Oh, great, Phil. I'm glad you got one I know. It's always good to start off with. The school motto was Ambular in Fortitudine, which is walk in strength.
So
it helps a little bit, but you get ambulance from this word as well. It's preamble.
Which word for an introductory statement in a document comes from the Latin for to walk before? It is indeed preamble. Yes, preamble.
Great stuff.
What was the school motto again?
Ambular in Fortitudine.
I thought that should be emblazoned on Ray in the Bay's bedhead to guide him on his journey.
You'll be satisfied to know that the school was recently, because of poor enrolments, it was sold to a Chinese consortium for $100 million.
What, your old school?
Yes.
What about the students? Do they get sold with it?
They had to do their last 2 years at Xavier College, the big school in Kew.
Right.
So it was Xavier Preparatory School.
What did the Chinese do with it? Said to make a hotel out of it or something?
Well, I think they're going to probably have apartments because it does overlook Brighton Bay.
Brighton Beach. Okay.
Yeah, it's got a great view of Brighton Beach. We were very privileged in looking back on it.
That would have been a good school to be at.
It was.
So at lunchtime, could you go? No, of course you couldn't, but you could dream of going down to the having a swim.
Yes, I don't think anybody dared to do it.
No, of course you didn't.
Go outside the school grounds.
Remember leaving the school grounds, how bad that was?
It was a number of boys, they were caught by the school leopard. That was from Tompkinson school days, wasn't it, the Michael Palin thing? Tompkinson escaped, he was caught by the school leopard.
My texter says, how could a school in Melbourne possibly have low enrolments?
I'm not sure. Maybe not everybody wants to be educated by the Jesuits from 10 years old to 13 years
in
old.
In Brighton. It don't sound as though you come from Brighton, Alistair.
Well, I don't now, but I was in Brighton. We lived in Church Street.
Okay. Yeah. Question number 3, etymology. See, people in Perth will think, what are they going on about? Never heard.
Brighton.
Brighton. No, Brighton.
B-R-A-H-T-O-N. Yeah.
Brighton. Question number 3, etymology. Well, it's also, if you just in case people in Brighton think get too far ahead of themselves, remember it was also where Shane Warne lived as well. So
yes. Yeah, I don't know if he might have been East Brighton. Yeah. I don't know. But that was always a stigma about East Brighton because the postcode was 3187. It wasn't 3186.
He
might have lived in Brighton, yeah, proper.
Richard says, I went to the other branch, then the senior school as well. And Ron from Morven says, I worked at the school.
Oh. Okay. He worked at Costco or Burke Hall.
Doesn't say. David from Singleton says a Royal Doulton porcelain potty is far more classy than a cold hard metal bedpan. Are you speaking from experience here, David?
I'm listening on ancient equipment, by the way, Phil. I told Dave when I rang up, I've got my old FM tuner, the big tuner,
and
I'm getting three green lights. Whereas it goes maximum of five, but it's FM mono, you guys.
Wow.
On 107.9 out here.
Gee, I wonder, not too many people have those anymore.
Yeah, I'm all analog. Yeah, my brother made a thing so I could put it into the TV socket. So
great.
It picks up the FM pretty well.
Fantastic.
But when you play the podcast, though, I was meaning to say, that when you play the podcast, it's in stereo.
Hey.
Of the program, yeah, it's in really good, really good sound.
When
you play the podcast back of the show, yeah.
Hey,
yeah, but it's broadcast in mono FM and mono AM, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Question number three: etymology. Staying here.
Yes, Phil. Yeah,
which fruit has a name meaning gold citrus fruit in Chinese?
Oh, Chinese.
Well, you know all about this, given the sale of your school.
I was hoping it would be either Greek or Latin because I did both of those right up to HSC. But,
no point in bragging to me, Alistair.
High degree of difficulty, but I failed English,
mm-hmm.
which severely damaged my prospects of doing law.
yes.
But golden. Oh, so could you ask the question again?
I know you were going through your academic record, which is, you know, of minimal interest. To listeners, Alistair.
Yeah,
which fruit has a name meaning gold citrus fruit in Chinese?
Would it be mandarin?
Not a mandarin, no. I knew you'd go there.
Fell into the trap, straight into it.
All right, get into real estate, Alistair, or failing that, plastics. It's apparently the thing. See ya. See ya.
Okay, thanks, Phil.
Bye. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Barbara in Falconbridge. G'day,
Barbara. Came to me at the right time, too.
Oh, there you go. Which fruit has a name meaning?
Well, I think you did. I might be being a bit premature.
Which fruit has a name meaning gold citrus fruit in Chinese?
Well, I think it's lemon.
No, it's not.
I told you I was being premature.
You would be. That's right. See you, Bob. Bye-bye. No, it's not. Jeff from Jalorup.
Evening, Philip. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. You're set for big things tonight?
I'm not sure.
Which fruit has a name meaning gold citrus fruit in Chinese?
Well, I think I'll go the obvious one and say orange.
No, it's not orange.
Yeah, well,
no, I'll thank you.
Again.
Bye. See you later. Loz in Lynham. G'day, Loz.
G'day there.
Which fruit's got a name meaning gold citrus fruit in Chinese?
Kumquats.
A kumquats. Yes, a kumquat. Correct. All right, question number three. We're in etymology. You can move.
We'll stay here, please.
Staying here. Which percussion instrument has a name that means wood voice in Greek?
Wood voice in Greek. The timpani.
Not the timpani. Thanks, Loz. See you later. Not a timpani. No. Kim from Manham, the voice of the Murray. G'day, Kim.
Good evening, Philip.
How are you?
Yeah. Well, I'm very good, very good. You might just, if you're lucky, you might hear from me on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Again.
No, that's all right. What might be treated to?
Well, old Negro spiritual. Sorry, African-American spiritual.
Oh, yeah,
spiritual.
You can't say that anymore.
Oh, no, no.
We know where you're going.
A spiritual. Steal away.
Steal away, okay.
Yes, yep.
All right.
And then I'll try something different. Okay. Johnny Bathurst or Probably similar to him.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll look out for it, Kim. Good on you.
Right,
now, help me out here. Which percussion instrument has a name that means wood voice in Greek?
I've heard this before. I know it. But it's to the dim, dark recesses of my mind, my memory.
Those recesses.
Oh, yeah. Very dark, very,
very, very dark, and
very far back. Yes. I have to dip out again, I think, Phil.
No good. All right, Kim.
That's
that's a shame. We might hear from you on Thursday, right?
Yeah, right, Gary. Yes, you will. Yeah. Thank you, Philip.
Thanks, Kim. Bye-bye. Jane from Homebush had a kumquat. Natalie in Longwood East, that's correct. Marilyn in Albury, that is correct. Adrian from Bella Vista and Pat from The Point, correct. What about Jeff from Bacchus Marsh? G'day, Jeff.
Hi.
Question number four. Yep. Which percussion instrument has a name that means wood voice in Greek?
Oh, wood voice.
No good, Jeff?
No, Glockenspiel.
Not a Glockenspiel, no. Not a Glockenspiel. No, it wasn't. Joanna from Newcastle. G'day, Jo.
Oh, hi, Philip.
We needed you last night. I tell you, we ran into a couple of dead ends.
I think I heard it last night. I was staying at a friend's place.
Yeah, I know.
And I heard it. And
it got
painful.
No, it got very painful.
I don't think I would have been successful. It happens sometimes. I remember the occasion when Rod was doing it years ago and he got stuck on the names of the seven little Australians. My mother told me about it.
Rod did.
Yeah, it was the seven little Australians. It's a shame because I was at work or something, you know. Because I knew them all. Mum told me that. I didn't finish half last night.
Ah, dear.
Shame I wasn't able to. Anyway, that's enough of it. Sorry, I think I know the answer.
Which percussion instrument has a name that means wood voice in Greek?
Xylophone?
Correct.
Yeah.
It's a xylophone.
Yes.
A word that starts with X is probably a giveaway to be Greek, do you think?
Yes. Something is wood in Greek, yeah.
Mm.
The xylem in the, yeah, I vaguely remember that, yeah, from school.
Question number five.
Mm.
We've got one left in etymology, or otherwise you could move anywhere else. Make it quick. Famous Toms, Foxes and Wolves, the 1700s.
Oh, dear. I'm going to go the wrong way. I'll try foxes and wolves.
Okay. Off etymology, people. On to foxes and wolves. John from Mitcham says, I'll definitely listen if Kim's going to be in fine voice. Well, you will be. But Julian Rosebud, yes, it is xylophone. Paul on holidays in Osaka. Well, good for you, Paul. He's also got xylophone. Lorella says our school motto was Ubi Crux, Ibi Crux. Ubi Crux, Ibi Lux, which translates to where the cross is, there is the light. Didn't mean much to us in primary school. Oh, well, you should have paid more attention in religious doctrine classes, Lorella. Question number five, foxes and wolves. Stockbroker Jordan Belfort is the main character of which 2016 film?
Oh, I'm going to say the Wolf of Wall Street.
Correct.
My name is Jordan Belfort. The year I turned 26, I made $49 million, which really pissed me off because it was three shy of $1 million a week.
We're making a name for ourselves.
Stock is going to go up, down, sideways, or in circles. You know what a Fugazi is?
Fugazi. It's a fake.
Yeah, Fugazi. Fugazi is It's a wazzy, it's a woozy, it's a fairy dust. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know you don't, I don't, I know you're far from Braddon, Joanna, but Maggie from Dandenong, which is also far from Braddon, but still in the right state, says, I grew up in Braddon, says Maggie. Lovely house, people and poodle dogs. God awful. Oh, Maggie. Oh, dear. All righty. Question number six. The Glockenspiel was close, says John from Mitchell. Yes, it was. That's true. All right. Foxes and Wolves is where we are.
Okay.
You're staying here?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Worthington Foulfellow is a villainous fox in which 1940 Disney film?
1940.
Worthington Foulfellow is a villainous fox.
I don't know. 1940. I don't know. Pinocchio?
Correct. Yes. It is. It's Pinocchio. It's Pinocchio. Guess. Where did that come from?
Well, I know Pinocchio is quite old, a quite old Disney film, so that's, I just had to guess it.
Yes, that's true. That's true. The Wolf of Wall Street. My texter says, don't we have the Wolf of Pennsylvania Avenue running the world now? Yes.
I call him the Orange Ogre.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, that's about one of the kinder ones.
Oh, well, there are. I could say, yeah, anyway.
Question number seven, Foxes and Wolves.
Okay.
Which common Spanish surname derives from the Latin for wolf?
Lopez?
Correct. Lopez, as in Jennifer Lopez. Let's get loud. Question number eight, Joanna from Newcastle, motoring. Joanna knows more than she thinks she knows, says Lorella. Well, that's very kind. That's a very kind thing to say. John from Mitcham says...
Well, Lorella's lovely. I'm sure she sounds lovely, yeah.
Lorella?
Yeah.
She is lovely, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure she is.
I have spoken to Lorella in the past, but she's more a texter than a, you know, but that's okay. Question number eight. In fact, I think, that's right. Because I had Lorella on, who's of Indian heritage, you see.
Yeah.
I think there was an Indian question came up, and she didn't get it right, I think. Question number eight, Foxes and Wolves.
Yep.
What is the fox wearing in the title of a 1965 book by Dr. Seuss?
Socks.
Correct.
Fox socks?
Yes. The fox in socks. The cat in the hat. The fox in socks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah. Oh, I'm happy with that. Yeah.
Well, you never know. Last one in Foxes and Wolves.
Okay. Yeah.
Joanna. Don't call you Joanne. Which actress, this is Foxes and Wolves, which actress has appeared in Transformers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen?
I don't know. I think there's an actress called Megan Fox. I don't know.
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
Correct. Very good. Megan or Megan Fox?
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to know in America whether they call them Megans or Megans.
Well, in Welsh, I think they say Megan.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's it. Okay. So the Welsh say Megan. What's Harry's wife? What does she call herself?
Megan.
She calls herself Megan too. Okay. Megan, let's call the whole thing off, eh? Annette in Perth says, Phil, by the way, Gaylene rang two nights ago to the overnight show. She's well.
Oh, good. It was great to hear her. Yes, she did.
She hasn't been that long since she rang us, I don't think.
One of the old guard now.
Gaylene?
Yeah.
Oh, very definitely, yes. Yeah. Very definitely one of the old guard. That's true. Well, Joanna, you never know what might happen to you, you see. Alistair says Joanna operates at a different level to us mortals.
No, not at all. Oh, goodness me, no. No, that's, yeah. I'll try the etymology. I'll probably...
Have you ever been on Mastermind, Joanna?
No.
No?
No, all these other... What's it say?
The SBS TV show I'm talking about.
No. It's only luck that you get a good, you guess, or you can have a good stab at it, really, or you know it sometimes. Really, it's just luck.
Because you know how they have rounds. There was a woman on tonight I was watching, and she got every question right. That's
goodness
pretty,
me.
I know.
Pretty yeah, good. I have seen that in some people, yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. You remind me of those kind of things.
No.
Hey, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6...
Okay. Okay, I'll try etymology or I'll risk it. Yep.
There's one left in etymology.
Yes, okay.
Etymology.
Yeah.
Which word for a legislative body comes from an old French word for speaking?
Parliament.
Parliament. Correct.
Yeah.
Parler. French word, yeah.
Je parle français.
Je parle français. And you also parlo Italiano, don't you, Joanna?
Oh, sono un poco, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, if was listening, he's saying he's been in Slovenia. My brother's just been there. And, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he rang us last night from Poland, actually, but he'd been in Slovenia, yeah.
Yeah, because our grandmother was from Slovenia. We spent some time there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a big kind of a connection there, isn't it?
He went to see his great-great-great-uncle's great, and our great-uncle is buried in Belgium too in the First World War too, like a lot of other people,
yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so it was good to hear him.
Yeah, lucky my grandfather wasn't buried there because otherwise I wouldn't be here.
No.
But he got sick before he was sent off to the Western Front. Good on him.
And also, yeah.
Diana from Woodnelling says, I'm always impressed with Joanna's knowledge. Yes, well, that's true. Oh, hang on. Pat from The Point, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. Pat from The Point says, what would Joanna's special subject be if she were to appear on Mastermind? What do you reckon?
I could try and bone up on some of the novels of P.G. Woodhouse, maybe.
Oh, yeah. P.G. Woodhouse novels. Mind you, that's tricky because there are a lot of them. There's about, aren't there? I think there's about 90. They're more than 100. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, there are a lot.
The Jeeves ones are the best, though, aren't they? Don't you?
Yeah. Some of the short stories are good, too.
Yeah. Question number 11.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have to go somewhere. We've got no more etymology and no more foxes and wolves. So we're going to go famous Toms, make it quick, the 1700s, what a century.
Oh, well, I'll try that, 1700s. I'll try that.
The 1700s, what a century. In 1717, the first Grand Lodge of which secret society was founded in London?
The Masonic Society? Or Masons?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. The Free...
Mozart was a Mason, wasn't he?
The Freemasons. Yeah. Who was a Mason?
Mozart, famously.
Who, sorry?
Well, Mozart, the composer.
Oh, Mozart. Yeah. He was a Mason. Yeah, he was a Mason.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did a show about Masons. It would have been 5 or 6 years ago. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Question number 12. Gee whiz, you've had eight on the trot here.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's nice. That's nice. I'll try another 17.
Hang on. Have you had 8 on the trot? Yeah. All 5, 5, 6, Parliament 7. What did you start on?
Xylophone.
What's that?
Xylophone.
Oh, the xylophone. That's right. Yeah. Xylophone. Yeah, that's 8. 5, 6, 7, 8. Mm. Gee whiz.
That's nice. Yeah.
Have we got any black magnets, Dave?
Don't say that. I'm happy with 8.
I don't know. Have we got any left that aren't earmarked for Joanna?
I think Joanna's got them all.
No.
Dave reckons you've got all the black magnets.
I've only got one. No, I had to take all the fridge magnets off the fridge because it's 31 years old. And it's going a bit rusty on the outside.
Oh.
Poor old thing. Anyway.
Someone says, I think Megan has produced... Pronounced Megan. Oh, I don't know. I don't want to get into Megan's. We can't get into Megan's.
No, we can't.
Jane from Homebush had the Freemasons. Ingrid. I see. Johnny Chicken Tooth says Joanna's mastermind subject would have to be people on nightlife. Yeah. Jane from Darlinghurst says, what topic would Joanne pick for hard quiz? Oh, you might be better on hard quiz, actually. Well, mind you, it's still luck, isn't it? Yeah. I want for you, Joanne, is the old, you know, we want the $1 million one, though. That's what we want. Question 12.
Oh, dear, yes.
Question 12. This will be for 9. Are we staying in the 1700s?
Yeah, okay.
In politics, which 1789 event gave rise to the terms left wing and right wing?
French Revolution.
The French Revolution, correct.
Started in 1789.
Yeah, it did. Well, here we are then.
Okay, righto.
Here we are then.
Okay.
Question number 13. And this would be, everyone, Joanna's...
Oh, no.
10th in a row, which would mean that she'd win the black magnet. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yes, you started on question 4. Gee, it's a pity you didn't start on question 1.
I knew it too.
Yeah. Question 13.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're in the 1700s. You can stay there. But,
I'll stay there, thanks.
As predicted by an English astronomer, which celestial object appeared in the skies on Christmas Day, 1758?
I don't know. I'm going to say Halley's Comet.
Oh, Joe, that's tremendous. That's tremendous.
Well, that is really nice.
That is very nice indeed. 10 questions on the trot in a row. Joanna from Newcastle, you are the black magnet winner. How about that? Good on you.
Well, it's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Great. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Jane from Hubble had the French Revolution. Harry in the Bay had Halley's Comet. Well done, Joanna, said Adrian.
And, thank you.
And everybody else. Frank from Mount Evelyn. Well done, Joe. Diana from Woodnelly. Go, Joanna. Well done, Joanna, says Maria. Well done, Joanna, says Maria.
Thank you very much.
Pat from the Point saying, well done. Robin saying, well, yeah, good job. Good job. All right. Well, we're up to question 14.
No, I think I'll retire on that.
Oh, you want to retire? You don't have to.
I listen to this show a lot, and I think it's only fair to let other people have it go. I've won the... Yeah, I really do.
Well, that's very noble of you, but it's up to you, Joanna.
I think it's only... Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah, that's only fair.
You'd prefer to do that? Because, I mean, you could go on and answer question 25.
No, I'll do that. I'll bow out and let other people have it go. Thank you.
Well, Joe, that's very noble of you.
It's only...
Well done. What the heck? Top of the class. Karina in Shell Harbour. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you, everybody. That's great.
Yeah. Joe, fantastic.
Thanks very much.
Okay. We'll see what we can do about the. We'll see what we can do about a plaque. Okay, Joe, we may have to get some black magnets made, given you know.
People have been winning a lot lately.
The office carrier pigeon. No, they have not been winning lately. I haven't given out one this year, for example. Mm. I don't think. No. Mm. Joe, put you on hold, okay?
Thank you very much.
Put you on hold and we'll get some details from you. Another brilliant Nova Castrian. Bravo, Joanna. This is Mary from Lilyfield. Leonie in Orange. Yeah, no, she's... Well, that's great, isn't it? Isn't that fantastic? Question 14. We're up to, well, understandably, people have been waiting on, and you can understand why. Xavier in Bunbury. G'day, Xavier.
Yeah, g'day.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, I was still at work when Joe started. I'm home now.
Now you've got home, got into your gym jams and got into bed. That's right. Yeah. Question 14 we're up to. We're in the 1700s, but you can move if, you can move, yeah, if you like.
Well, I feel like a very high bar has been set. I'd be happy to get one right, to be honest. Yeah.
What do you want to do?
I'll just battle on, yeah, 1700s.
1700s? Two left here. Now, on the 23rd of May, 1701, Captain William Kidd was hanged for which crime?
Yeah, maybe Joe should have kept on playing. Yeah. I don't know who Captain William Kidd is.
That's kind of the key to it, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I might retire hurt.
Okay, that's all right, Xavier. He's run on, but the whistle's gone, he's run off again. Okay. See you, Xavier.
I'll listen on with interest.
See ya. Bye. Linda from Semaphore. Hi, Linda.
Oh, hello. Yeah, congratulations to the lady.
Yeah, not bad, eh?
Yes.
Question.
It's very, very good of her to bow out. She didn't need to, though.
She did not need to, no.
No, it would have been nice to have someone, one person win all of it. That's never happened, though, has it?
Well, it's never happened since I've been doing it, and I've been doing it for 10 years. Well, I will be doing it for 10 years, I think, in October. All right, question 14. On the 23rd of May, 1701, Captain William Kidd was hanged for which crime?
Treason?
Not treason. Sorry, Linda. Thank you. No, not treason. Cameron from South Perth. G'day, Cameron.
Hello, good evening. How are you?
Pretty good.
Well, good morning, yeah.
Morning.
I'm back in Perth.
Well, you've been in Geelong, exactly. Yeah. How was the trip back?
We left 10 minutes late and arrived 20 minutes early, so you can't complain.
Ah, time difference is a wonderful thing, is it not? That's right. Mm. Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you liked Geelong. It's a beautiful place and area.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Question 14. On the 23rd of May, 1701, Captain William Kidd was hanged for which crime?
Piracy.
Correct. Captain Kidd was a pirate. Hmm. Question 15. Last one in the 1700s, if you like.
Yeah.
Which American scientist wrote, quote, "In September 1752, I erected an iron rod to draw the lightning down into my house."
Yeah.
That's the question. Which American scientist wrote that?
Well, I think he was president as well. Wasn't he the prisoner? And what was his name? I'm pretty sure he was the president of America. It's not coming to me, Philip.
Thanks, Cameron. Thank you. Good on you. Nice talking to you anyway. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Justin from Frankston. Hi, Justin.
G'day, Phil. What a run.
She was, I know.
Yeah, she should have kept on going.
Oh, well, she's a lovely person, Joanna, so she didn't want to. That's fine.
Yeah, I must congratulate her as well, too. She was, quite a good player.
Hey, which American scientist wrote, in September 1752, I erected an iron rod to draw the lightning down into my house?
I'm going to say Martin Luther King.
Not Martin Luther King. Justin, no, not Martin Luther King. Thank you. George from Melville. Hello, George.
Hi, Phil. I won the raffle at Senior Citizens again. I've won two raffles in 3 weeks.
Hang on, what do you mean you won? You won the meat raffle again?
No, no, a little package of scarf, booties, knitted booties, and some biscuits.
Oh, very good. Well, hang on, are they babies' booties, George?
Well, I'll try. They won't fit me. They're small for me. I think they're babies' booties. I'll give them
I've just got this image of you walking around the house in a pair of hand knitted booties, George. Question 15. Which American scientist wrote, in September 1752, I erected an iron rod to draw the lightning down into my house?
Christopher Columbus?
Not Christopher Columbus, no. Not Christopher Columbus. Lek from Borough. Hi, Lek.
Hello, Phil. I haven't got any list tonight, but it's funny that you harken back to 10 years ago, which is when I first started listening to Overnights.
Good on you. Good on you.
I know. It's like mental. And then it's taken me only 9 years and 11 months to
give us a ring. To give us a ring. Hey, tell me, which American scientist wrote, in September 1752, I erected an iron rod to draw the lightning down into my house?
Benjamin Franklin.
Correct, it was. It was Benjamin Franklin.
I rang in for etymology and I didn't make any lists tonight to fill, so.
Oh, okay. No, that's all right. That's all right.
Yeah.
Okie doke.
I remember a picture book as a kid seeing like a kite and like a piece of metal on a kite string or something like that. That's just
Benjamin Franklin. I don't think he was ever president anyway, was he? I don't think so.
No, I don't know.
Question 16. Make it quick. Famous Toms. That's all we've got left. We've got 10 left.
Gosh. Make it quick.
Make it quick. In
chem- for me, because otherwise I hark on.
In chemistry, what common name is often given to calcium oxide?
I know I did plumbing chemistry, year 12 chemistry. Quicksand, not quicksand. Oh, it's quick. I'm going to say quicksand. That's not the answer.
It's not the answer.
No.
Sorry, Lick. Bye. See you later. No, it's not the answer. We've got lines free if you want to grab 1-1-300-800-222. Ben in Beverly Hills. Hello, Ben.
How you doing, Phil?
Very good. Question 16. In chemistry, what common names often given to calcium oxide?
Well, going off it, hopefully flew from the previous caller, I'll just say quicksilver.
Not quicksilver. No, sorry, Ben. No, it's not quicksilver. Ron from Boggabri. G'day, Ron.
G'day. How you going?
Pretty good. Question 16. In chemistry, what common name is often given to calcium oxide? We're in a category called make it quick.
Nobody.
No, that's good.
I've got a clue.
Good on you, Ron.
Quicksilver,
exactly.
Quicksilver's the only one I can come up with, too.
Nope, it's not quicksilver. Thanks, Ron. Bye-bye. Susan in Hobart's got the right answer. Robin says, yes, no, Benjamin Franklin wasn't the president. No, but he was one of the founding fathers, as they say. That's right. Okay, where are we? Thomas in Oak Flats. G'day, Thomas.
How you going?
Not bad. Question 16. In chemistry, what common name is often given to calcium oxide?
Milk.
No, not milk. Sorry, no, it's not milk. Alan from Forest in Victoria. Hi, Alan. Hi, Alan. Oh. G'day.
G'day. Yeah.
Not bad. In chemistry, what common name is often given to calcium oxide?
Oh, boom. I never got that far in school. And I've never had the need to come across it.
No worries. Thanks, Al. Well, we'll move on. What about Norm from Normanhurst?
I've missed a slab of the show tonight, Phil, and I'm looking forward to hearing what the question is, please.
That's all right. Question 16. We're in a category called Make It Quick. In chemistry, what common names often given to calcium oxide?
Quicksilver?
No, I've had quicksilver.
Ah. Calcium
oxide.
IDE or I guess you don't swallow it. So calcium, Ca, oxide or oxate. Oxide, so CaCO3. It's been so long since I've had high school chemistry, I can't remember, but it's got to be quick something. Quicksilver? We had quicksilver, did you say?
We've had quicksilver.
Quickly.
make it quick, Norm.
Yeah. Can't think of the other quick. I'm sorry, Phil. I'm going to have to bail out on you.
No worries, Norm. See you, mate. Jade from South Yundrup says, you said quickies. No, it's not quickies. But that's funny. Jeremy Ian from Warimba. Hello, Ian.
Thanks, Phil. Would it be quick lime?
Correct. Yes, in chemistry, what common name is often given to calcium oxide? It's quick lime. Quick lime. That's right. Okay, question 17. We're in Make It Quick. You can move to Famous Tom's if you like.
No, Make It Quick.
Make it quick. What is notable about the sentence, the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog?
It's using every key on the typewriter. Is that it? That's if people can remember what typewriters are.
Well, I want a better answer than that, Ian. What is notable about the sentence, the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog? Because it doesn't use every key on the typewriter.
Well, all the A, B, the entire alphabet.
Correct. That's the one. That's what I want, yeah.
Yeah.
It contains all the letters of the alphabet.
Yeah.
Known as a pangram. Hmm.
Is it? Righty-ho.
I mean, if it was all the keys on the typewriter, it would have plus and minus and numbers and space bars and all sorts of things.
Yeah, all the good things that I don't know.
Sandra in Perth says uses all the letters in the typewriter.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose letters, that's true. Yeah. Question number 18, staying with Make It Quick.
Yep, righto.
Which Marvel superhero shares his name with a medieval word for mercury? We're in a category called Make It Quick.
Would that be the Quicksilver one?
Correct, yes. Yep. Very good, Ian. That's three in the trot. Nice work.
Yeah. Phil, the voice of the Murray.
Yes, yes.
What's his classification in baritone or bass baritone?
No, he's a bass. He's a bass.
Oh, yeah. Is that about the deepest you'll get?
I think singing terms, yes. Actually, I should ask him whether he's a basso or a basso profundo.
Yeah.
I'll ask him on Thursday. When he's fronting up. Okay.
Yeah.
Ian, question number 19.
We're in radio, quick.
Complete the nursery rhyme. Jack be nimble, Jack be quick.
Jack jump over the candlestick.
Correct.
Yep.
Nice work. Gee, you're knocking these over, Ian.
Oh, personal best.
Personal best. Four on the trot.
Yeah. What have we got left? How many left in quick?
One.
Oh, well, we'll finish. See if I can finish it.
Which synonym for quick is also the name of a fast-flying bird that resembles the swallow?
A dart?
Not a dart.
All right. No. Thanks,
Ian. Bye-bye. Gee, he was pretty good, wasn't he? He was pretty good. Joan of Allera. Yes, Jack jumped over the candlestick. All righty. Now, who's been hanging on here? Ray from Yeronga. G'day, Ray.
Hi, Phil.
Question number 20. Which synonym for quick is also the name of a fast-flying bird that resembles the swallow?
Swift.
A swift. Correct.
Yeah, I'd be happy with one. I'm happy to get one right. That's right.
Well, you did get one. You did get one right. Now there's five left. They're all in famous. Yeah. They're all in famous toms. So Ray, no choosing, just answering is the go. The Heartbreakers. The Heartbreakers were which singer's backing band?
Tom Petty.
Yes, Mr. Tom Petty. Now I'm free. I'm free falling.
Yeah, I'm free. Free falling.
Yes, plenty of people having Swifts. There's some interesting things about the Swifts. I wanted to say that the Swifts never land anywhere, Ray. I think there is something like that. They sleep in the air, they eat in the air.
Like shearwaters a bit, I think. They go a long way.
They do go a long way. All righty, Ray, we've got a news bulletin, so I'll put you on hold. We can come back, or we can ring you, and we shall answer the last one, two, three, four questions. Let's see whether Ray from Yarunga can answer the last four questions in a little thing we call
the Mighty Challenge.
G'day, Ray. Welcome back.
Hi.
We're in famous toms. Which famous singer took his stage name from a 1963 film adaptation of a 1749 novel by Henry Fielding?
This would just be a guess, Tom Jones.
Yeah, I know. It's an obvious guess, isn't it? But it has
Have you got a list of all the magnets, Phil, of the back magnets?
Have I got a list of everyone who's ever won one?
Well, black one, yeah.
I have got a note of it somewhere, but not to hand. Ray, I should dig that out. Yes, it was Tom Jones.
I saw the light on the night that I passed by her window. I saw the flickering shadows of love on her blind. She was my woman. As she deceived me, I watched and went out of my mind.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't get to sing that much these days, Ray, does he?
Can I say something quickly about tobacco?
You could ring us when we're talking about tobacco, but yeah, go on.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think people realise how cheap, what the difference in price is.
It's huge.
It's $3 a gram in the shop, which is, $90 for 30 grams, whatever. So 100 grams is $300. You can go and buy 100 grams for $15.
Exactly. Chop, chop, exactly.
Instead of 300.
Oh, no, I agree. But, I mean, it's all a direct result of government policy, and it's, I don't know,
basically.
Let's talk about it in a minute, Ray, because I want to get into that conversation. But we've got something else to do right here. We've got three questions left. They're all in famous toms. Which Czech-English playwright wrote the 1966 play Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead? We're in a category called famous toms.
Yeah, I know it comes from Hamlet and that, but I'm sure I know it, but I'll let it go.
No worries. Thanks, Ray. See you later. Pearl in Darwin. G'day, Pearl.
Hello, Phil.
How are you?
I'm good. I was listening to Woz last night, racing around Europe on his motorbike.
He was getting around, wasn't he?
He was, and I couldn't believe that he was so close to the Isle of Man for the Isle of Man TT, and he wasn't even going there.
Well, when you say he was so close, he wasn't that close. He was in France.
A lot closer than Australia.
Well, that's true.
Mm. And if you were a bikey person...
Hang on, is the TT on right now, is it?
It starts next week, yeah. The last week in May, first week in June.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's crazy.
It's an amazingly stupid race.
Yes, it is, yeah.
It's too dangerous. It's just, it's so dangerous.
It's been going since 1907.
Yeah, I know. I know. Mm. The Isle of Man TT, it's a race that occurs. It's not recognised as any GP race, but it's as you say, a race with a long history. Yeah.
Yeah. They do say it's the most prestigious motorbike race in the world.
Yeah.
Do you know what TT stands for?
You tell me.
Well, I just wonder if many people know what TT stands for.
I don't, Pearl, but you tell me.
It stands for Tourist Trophy.
Tourist Trophy, there you go.
Isle of Man Tourist Trophy.
Yeah. Mm. Now, Pearl, which Czech English playwright wrote the 1966 play Rosencrantz and Guildenstern did? Famous Toms.
I have no idea, Phil.
That's okay. Thank you for letting us know about the Isle of Man TT.
Thank you. Bye.
See ya. I'm sure would have known that it was on. Adam from Geelong. G'day, Adam.
G'day, Phil. How are you, mate?
Pretty good. Which Czech English playwright wrote the 1966 play Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead?
That'll be a hard pass for me, mate. Thank you.
No good. All right. Thanks. Thanks, Adam. Fair enough. Paul from Geelong. G'day, Paul.
No, Phil. We'll see you later.
No, see ya. No good. All righty. Peter from Elmore. G'day, Peter. Which Czech English playwright wrote the 1966 play Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead? We're in a category called Famous Toms.
All I can do is laugh.
Okay.
I can't do anything else.
Thanks,
so,
Pete.
Sorry.
See ya. It's one of those things I bet you probably do know. Betty will know. Betty from Dapto. G'day, Betty.
No. I don't think so, Phil.
shout out to Fred. See if Fred knows.
Yeah, well, Fred's pretty useless.
He's a quiet sort of fellow, isn't he?
Adrian's asleep, so he's no use either. Right.
How have you been, Bet? All right?
Yeah, I've been pretty good.
Yeah, good.
Yes, we're getting a little bit of rain on the garden.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get a bit more overnight. And that'll make the weeds grow, and that'll please Adrian.
Because he can pull them out again.
Yes. Something I wanted to tell you, and I can't think what it was. Isn't that annoying?
That is annoying. Betty, when you remember, give us a bell. I'll put you back on, okay?
All right.
See you, Bet. Bye-bye. Enid from Perth knows the answer here. Hi, Enid.
Hello, Phil. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Which Czech English playwright wrote the 1966 play Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead?
Well, I think I'm right. He's a Tom, and he's Tom Stoppard.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yes, famous Toms. He is. It's Tom Stoppard.
In fact, our grad's group of actors.
Oh, yeah.
Did that a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's a fun play. Yeah.
It is. Yes.
Question 24. Two left here. Yeah. Famous Toms.
Oh, yes, okay.
How many times has Tom Hanks won the Academy Award for Best Actor?
Twice?
Correct.
Oh, gee.
Very good. He's won for Philadelphia and also for Forrest Gump.
Hello, my name's Forrest Gump. Do you want a chocolate? I could eat about 1.5 million of these. My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Mm. You know,
that was a great film, though.
It was a good film, wasn't it? It really was. He was great. Tom Hanks is always good, I reckon. Question 25.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I've gone out on this before. I've actually got 3 magnets from...
You've got 3? 3 magnets? Wow.
Yeah, they're getting a bit old now. Yeah.
Wow, that's not bad. You know, you haven't got a black one, have you? No.
No, I haven't got a black one.
Wow. Well, this could be good for you, though, actually, Enid.
Could it?
Mm-hmm. Question 25, and to win and to take the magnet for tonight. Which mining town in the Pilbara
Oh, Tom Price.
Is the highest town above sea level in Western Australia.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking. Highest. Oh,
which
sorry.
Mining town, we're in a category called Famous Toms, which mining yeah. town in the Pilbara is the highest town above sea level in Western Australia?
Well, the only one I can think of is Mount Tom Price.
Is that the answer?
Yes, I hope so.
Yeah. I knew it was a West Australian. I thought, you've got to get this one, Enid. Well done.
You never know.
Well done, Enid. Thanks. We'll get this posted out to you, all right? It can add to your collection. You've now got three. Well done.
Okay. Well, thank you. I didn't mean to come in on the end of this, but I just turned the radio on.
No, it's all right. That's all right. Yeah. Of course, it's fine to do a Bradbury anytime, all right?
Is that right?
Joanna from Newcastle have done a lot of the heavy lifting, getting 10 in a row. So there she goes.
I know. I heard that. I was doing some work on the computer and I thought, gee.
Thanks, Enid. Don't hang up. Hang on, and we'll get some details from you and get this out to you. Thanks to everyone who's texted in answers tonight. Heaps of them. Joanna Valera had Mount Tom Price. Robin had Mount Tom Price. Annette from Perth. Frank from Mount Evelyn had Mount Tom Price. Diana from Woodnelling says, it's good to hear the quiz again. Phil, I've been falling asleep lately, immediately missing it. Hey, Sam from Clare had Mount Tom Price. And so did Marie from Altona. Very nice work, everyone.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.